insecure as I start tonight because about 2 months ago I had the idea of allowing Dr. Gordon Reed speak into our Christmas Eve service, even though he went to be with Jesus, I think in April of 21. He was the pastor who I came after. And if you didn't know him, he was serving the Lord faithfully all the way up to about 90 years old. That's amazing. But it's really what we're all called to do. We're all called to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ this way, even though there's nothing wrong about retirement. In our retirement, my dad would say, and he was a pastor, he says, now that I'm retired, I can really serve the Lord. That's not, I'm not encouraging you to hear that from a pastor, but he really was a good pastor. And I hope you think that way. I hope you think as you approach retirement or as you look forward to a retirement one day, and I know that's the last thing on y'all's mind, children, but that you would think of much about how you can use it in a fruitful way to serve your King. Well, I was coming in and Scott Jackson came in and he said that he read this to a group of people, and I'm reeling in my head like, okay, well, I don't want to be repetitive to those who've heard it, but I'm going to be true to what's in the bulletin. It takes me about 7 minutes to read this. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to add to it, and hopefully won't mess it up, okay? So this is from Dr. Gordon Reed. He wrote this book, Christmas Letters, Lessons, and Carols. And the first lesson comes in is Christmas, don't miss it. And some of you might have read it as a family if you have this book. But I want to read it to you that don't have it, and then I'll hopefully encourage those who've read it recently with some new truths. Or not new truths, but some more truth. Christmas, this is again written by Dr. Gordon Reed. And I'm not sure I'll ever write a book. Pretty sure I won't, unless it's like for children. So the scripture that you've heard read will serve as our text, even though this is kind of springing off the birth of Christ. Christmas has become the most lucrative season of the year for many people. Billions are spent on decoration, gifts, and food, and billions are made. Don't y'all dread getting me your credit card bill in about a month. The hype begins in late October or early November, really heats up after Thanksgiving, and becomes a mad, frantic rush through the rest of December. It is a much bigger, broader event than it was a few years ago, but there's an alarming blurring going on. The sharp focus has been lost, and Christmas is becoming less and less distinct. Catalogs and stores are filled with Christmas cards, but few, if any, mention Christ. And most people seem annoyed and embarrassed if his name is even mentioned, whose birthday we ostensibly, I've never heard that word, are celebrating. Or is it Santa's birthday? Some stores forbid the employees from even saying Merry Christmas, and some now are selling holiday trees. The words of the second psalm come to mind. He who sits in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision. The most holy day for believers is accepted in the world only if we're willing to say it is a holiday. In fact, public displays of nativity scenes and any reference to Christ have been ruled illegal by many. In short, Christmas, which is rushing upon us, is going to pass most people by, and if we're not careful, we too may be swept along without a moment to really ponder these things in our hearts, and with no gift of loving devotion for our dear Savior. What a tragedy. How may we avoid being counted among those of whom it was said, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Unfortunately, there's nothing new about all this. From the very beginning of this fabulous story, there have been many who missed the joy and wonder of what happened, and some who almost did. Let's look again and see who missed out on Christmas, who almost did, and why. Then for a lingering moment, see those who did not miss but found God's great gift. Listen to the ones who missed Christmas, according to Dr. Gordon Reed. The first that comes to mind is, of course, the much maligned innkeeper. Now remember the story. By the time Luke interviewed Mary about the birth of Jesus, no one, not even Mary, could remember his name. If she ever knew it, he deserves his reputation. We could excuse him on the basis of his ignorance of what Mary and Joseph really were, or who they were, But does that excuse a man from helping a poor family like Joseph? They were so obviously strangers. Mary obviously very pregnant. And both obviously poor and in need of help. Yes, he was a busy man. Yes, this was his best chance to make a good profit. When people were crowding into the town, willing to pay whatever he asked for a room and meal. What he was doing seemed so important. He was so busy doing what seemed to be so important that the only really important thing that ever happened to him passed him by. The world is filled with his like today, materialists, who see life only in terms of getting and gaining and little time for the interest in the poor and needy, the sick and elderly, the lonely and dying. Yes, even Christmas gets caught up in the attitude if we're not very careful. Do you suppose if the innkeeper had known, it would have made a difference? Maybe if he had just stopped for a minute, thought for a moment. But when does a person like that ever really take time to stop and think about anyone other than themselves? You never know who that person in need may be. Another who missed Christmas was Herod. But for the entirely different reasons, his guilt and fear and greed for power, even though he pretended an interest when speaking with the Magi, go and find this young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. It was all a pretense to mask his evil heart and design. But the most tragic of all that the Jewish people, the most tragic of those who missed of all was that the Jewish people as a nation, whose whole purpose for existence was to bring the Messiah into the world. They missed Christmas. Their whole long history had been preparation. Their whole long history had been preparation for this grand entrance of their God into his world. And through his people whom he had formed and repeatedly redeemed. But again, there was nothing new in their rejection. Had they not first rejected Moses? Had they not refused to enter the promised land? Had they not stoned and murdered the prophets? Were they not the most bitter enemies of the early church? So when Christ came into his own land, his own people refused to receive him. When I see those who are called by his name today show such disinterest in holy living, serious Bible study, earnest application of Christian truth to their daily lives, I hear again those awful words, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." There were those who almost missed Christmas. The first was Zacharias, father of John the Baptist. His unbelief brought chastisement on him and almost cost him even more. Then there was Joseph, when Mary told him of the angel's word and her own pregnancy, his pride and hurt feelings almost cost him the greatest honor any human man has ever been given. But bless him. When God spoke to his heart, he made a decision so profound, so noble, and so right that his name is in the Hall of Fame of the great heroes. Those were those who missed Christmas, almost missed Christmas, but didn't. The third grouping that Dr. Reed gives us is then, of course, some did not miss it at all. Mary, with her simple childlike faith and complete submission to God's will, the simple lowly shepherds who were surprised by wonder and joy, the wise men who would not be deterred by distance or danger or even their own limited knowledge, Anna and Simeon found him too and departed from this world in peace and great hope, for their eyes saw the Messiah and their hearts rested safe in the promise fulfilled before their very eyes. So he says, so the same drama continues today. The mighty and the multitudes continue to miss out on Christmas. They come close. They know the story, but filled with the spirit of the world, frozen by cynicism and unbelief, held in bondage by their own fears, prisoners of greed and pride, they celebrate a Christmas that knows nothing of Christ and go their own unhappy and empty way towards the grave, gaining the whole world and losing their souls. And yes, there were some who might miss it if they don't wake up. Like Zacharias, whose understanding of the greatness and faithfulness of God was so limited by his own little formal faith. Or maybe like Joseph, whose manly pride and deeply hurt feelings almost disqualified him to raise God's son. But who told both God and Mary he was sorry for his sin and became the real man God called him to be. Let us be among those who really and truly find Christmas, like Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, yes, and even Zacharias and Joseph. Like the busy farmer shepherds or the seeking, searching wise men. And how do we express this? With joyful worship, with deep and fulfilling meditation on the incarnation, but even more with glad tidings, glad sharings of the tidings, self-forgetting love for each other, self-forgetting love for each other, and the unloved and unlovable of this world, with gifts of kindness and mercy, and with a deliberate and successful effort to focus on Jesus, his incarnation, and his call to follow him in life and death and into the Father's house above. I think that's wonderfully written by Dr. Gordon Reed. I want to read you what's written by our great God. I want you to think about this, because you can celebrate the birth of Jesus and still miss it if you don't hear these words. And my wife read them this afternoon to us around the table during our kind of Christmas brunch, Christmas Eve brunch. And I'm going to read them to you now. I think of the night Jesus was born and the shepherds. God would choose to reveal that to the shepherds, these lowly, looked down upon people of society. And they came to see what the angel had declared to them, and they saw baby Jesus there, and they just looked at him as, this is the Messiah, this is the one who's come to save us, this is the King that we've waited upon. And a few years later, the wise men and travel from all over the place, these wise men with these rich gifts. You have these lowly shepherds who come on the night he's born, and you have these kings who come from afar with these treasures. And I can't just imagine what was the town doing when they saw these people walk in to find baby Jesus and give him gifts. They didn't miss it. But I wonder if they saw this about this baby boy and what he came to do. So I read you from the Gospel account of John. And I want you to think about this and ponder it. As you hear the babies making their little noises throughout our service, it's a blessed noise. You look at these little babies in these arms, and you imagine seeing this King, this Messiah that's come, and listen what was attached to him and prophesied that he would do. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail the King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out and wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And then Jesus answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you is the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against the Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out, and he sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day and the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king," the Messiah, "behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king? Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered them, the spiritual leaders, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was this: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I'll stop there. We don't think of that as much during Christmas. But it's why he was born. It's why he came. To suffer what we deserve. And the only hope and joy and true love is found in that Savior, that King, that Messiah. And that's what defines it all. Don't miss it. Don't miss it tonight. Don't miss it in the morning. Don't miss it if you're disappointed in your gifts or if there's no presents under your tree. Don't miss it. And some of you might be sitting here like I am, your pastor, and saying, I've been missing it up to this point. I've been elevating everything but Jesus. I've been letting everything else rule me instead of Jesus. And as Dr. Gordon Reed encouraged us, and this has been going on for a long time, all throughout from Adam and Eve all the way till now, there are those who will miss it. There are those who almost will miss it. And there's those who will not. So let's pray that the Lord would be at work in us, that we would not be in the list of those who missed it. Father, we pray now, as our dear pastor challenges us, we pray now that you would help us not to miss it. Oh, we've muddied it so much. And we pray that this time tonight and this time tomorrow would encourage us in that way to not miss the true purpose of why we celebrate Christmas. As your people, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.